Welcome to the Lodge Sessions. This is Clint Holly. I'm the Concrete Cowboy, your host. Today in the Lodge with me is Dan McCoy, singer-songwriter. And as always, we sit in the Lodge after he records a few songs, and we talk about the art and craft of songwriting and anything else that might come to our mind. And welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
And let's go back to the beginning on this. Are you an Ohio guy?
I am an Ohio guy. I'm an East Side, Lake County, Willoughby, Ohio guy.
Born and bred.
Born and bred, yes. Not sure where I was buttered, but I was born and bred there, so there you go. That was a Red Fox joke, everybody. Right.
And so you grew up out on the East Side, Willoughby, Ohio.
I did, yeah. Even though a lot of people think I grew up in Pittsburgh, I did not.
And you had told me that there's a funny anecdote about your parents and football, and that's why people think you might be from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, my mom and dad were dating or just married or whatever. And my mom didn't know anything about football. So my dad was a big Browns fan, taught her about football. They watched football together. And she kind of felt bad for the Steelers, and then things started to go south. So out of spite, she really liked the Steelers and put me in my Steeler pajamas, and then they split and we just remained Steeler fans. So,
and then they got good and the Browns got bad.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And look then, where you're at now. You're actually rooting for the winning team instead of a winning team.
Right, guess, right.
Rather than a shell of a team that I guess nobody really knows what's going on.
Right. It was weird too because, you know, growing up I had to, you know, growing up in Cleveland, being a Steeler fan, I was constantly at odds with people. Then I ended up going to college in Pittsburgh, and the people in Pittsburgh knew I was from Cleveland, and they didn't believe I was a Steeler fan, and I had to prove to them. I had to, like, recite, like, the starting lineup, you know, the starting
offensive
line. From, like,
1971 or something like that, right?
Like, good Lord, man, I can't win either way. Right. So,
well, and so this isn't a sports show anyway, so let's talk,
right,
about,
so, yeah.
Talk about some music.
Yeah.
Early on, you said your father was a musician.
He was a musician. That side of my family, it seems like everybody was a musician. My dad and my uncle were one and two of, I think, eight. I think I have six aunts. But anyway, and all my aunts sang. My grandparents, who I never met, I know my grandfather played. And, I mean, it keeps going back, you know.
Right.
Back to the West Virginia Hills, that's where we're from. So.
Oh, runs deep.
Yeah, runs real deep. So I remember one of my earliest memories was my dad had the band over and they were practicing in the living room. And I remember just being fascinated by all the mic stands and all the instruments and all that kind of stuff. And so from an early age, I've just been enamored with music. And it's one thing that I've always wanted to do, that I've just be some sort of entertainer. See you dancing all around with a smile on your face. I wanna hear you laughing in your sleep. The sound fills the empty space. I wanna greet you with a morning smile, gentle kiss on your lips, to look into your blue eyes that could launch a thousand ships. When you kiss me goodnight or you say goodbye, I'm never sure how to pass the time. When we're alone, I know what to do. Girl, I want to dance with you. I want to dance with you. With your cheek touching mine, up to the night, or in a ball cap and jeans. When your eyes light up and look my way, I wish you knew how much it means. When you're stressed out and need a break, I wanna be your way out. When you need a shoulder for your head, come to me with no doubts. One minute I wanna dance with you, with your cheek touching mine, arms around your waist, with our hearts in time.
What kind of music did your dad play?
He was doing a lot of rock and roll stuff.
Kind
of the pop stuff of the day. I don't really remember him singing or anything, but from what I'm told, you know, he could. He had a kind of a higher voice, but so he
harmony would, guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, he played guitar and bass, and I think they were just kind of doing like what cover bands do today, you know?
Right.
So you know,
they were probably playing whatever was
whatever was popular
in
the day, and then probably stuff from the '60s and stuff like that. So
right. Now, in terms of music that influenced you to become a songwriter, what's some of the stuff that you heard early on? And you said that your mom was a huge influence on you.
My mom was an enormous influence, even though she didn't play music. Her palate is so wide that she listened to so many different things, types of music that I just absorbed a lot. You know, everything from, you know, like I was saying earlier, the early Elvis records and Jerry Lee Lewis records, you know, the Sun era through the 60s of like the Turtles and the Rolling Stones and Motown,
right.
Sly and the Family Stone, all that kind of stuff. And then you get into the 70s and you got your Bob Seger and that kind of stuff, you know, the kind of straightforward rock and roll, but still kind of cool enough that the pop audience can,
it's kind of
accessible for a couple different audiences, you know,
right.
So that kind of thing. And Seger was probably one of the biggest influences, and Tom Petty and Springsteen and all that kind of stuff. And
a lot of the blue collar rock and roll.
And you know, the kind of stuff that we grew up on around here, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, that was very Cleveland, kind of Cleveland centric stuff was the,
right.
Was the blue collar rockers. Now, do you remember any song in particular that you heard that made you say kind of in the back of your head, I want to do this, or I want to speak like this person is speaking, or this moved me so much, I just want to be part of it?
I would have to go back to Seger again on that.
Yeah.
I mean, when I grew up, it was just my mom and I, and we lived in a two-bedroom apartment, and she'd put on a big stack of records every Saturday. And we had all kinds of stuff. She had, like I said, she was playing all kinds of stuff, but there were many a Seger record
in the stack. Yeah. Was it one of those stacker turntables where
we could put like 10 records on there. Yeah, you put 10 records on one, one side's done, it drops down another one. And it was just, I mean, even at a young age, I remember hearing those Seger songs, and for some reason I could relate to them. Crazy. Some men go slow.
strangest faces all around, laughing right out loud. Hey, watch where you're going, step light on road toes, till you've been beside a man.
So going back to the songwriting then, anybody else besides Bob Seger? You mentioned like Tom Petty, somebody like Tom Petty.
Tom Petty was another huge influence.
Yeah.
I mean,
I like Tom Petty because he appeals to so many people. I had never seen him live until a few years ago, and me and Bonnie went, and it was like going to a Willie Nelson concert because he crosses so many.
Yeah.
Boundaries, like there's college kids there, there's people in their 60s, there's bikers, there's like suburban people there. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible the impact.
Again, it's that diversity, you know?
Right.
I mean, you can't, AC/DC, how the hell they've gotten away with it for so many years of making the same record.
I love
AC/DC.
But if people, if you changed it, people would be pissed.
Right, so. but Tom Petty and Seger and those guys, they can do that kind of thing,
right.
You know? I mean, even Springsteen can do like a Ghost of Tom Joad type album and for the most part be accepted, you know, I mean, and say his fans will say, that's still a pretty good record, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. There's certain bands that you wouldn't ever want them to change what they do.
Right.
I mean, what AC/DC does is so perfect in its right. own way. You don't want them to get experimental.
Right.
And as an artist, I don't know how that feels. I mean, like, because it's like, I'm one of those people that always constantly wants to change and
yeah.
in that also. And, but like you said, they made the same record probably 30 times, but it's still great.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Like, why?
I mean, I'm going to see them here at the end of the month, and it's going to be the first time I've seen them, and I'm like,
are you really?
I'm so stoked. You know? Like, I finally get to see AC/DC, you know? So, but as far as songwriters go, making me want to song, you know, I don't know, kind of obviously indirectly, but encouraging me to be a songwriter. I started writing when I was probably 16, so it's all that stuff that I listened to. And then when I got to college, the Freewheeling Bob Dylan album
right.
blew my mind. I didn't even know you could write stuff like that.
Right.
You know, and so from that point, I felt like my brain had expanded even more.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm on the level of Bob Dylan. There's not very many people that are, but it was something to aspire to.
Sure.
And push myself to be a better songwriter. And even to this day, I'm still trying to push myself to be a really good storyteller. That's my ultimate goal, is I want to be a good storyteller. I've often said that if I could play guitar like Stevie Ray Vaughan and write like Van Morrison, I'd be set.
Well, good luck on that.
Yeah.
Can I be your producer when you do that?
Absolutely. If I ever get to that point, you're there, man.
Started to sway. I slipped on my tall blue jeans. Tried to make sense of this run of events, but it wasn't adding up to me. The last I remember, it was 10 o'clock and the fourth round of Jim Beam. Somewhere in the night, my head took flight. There was no coming down for me. Don't know how we met, but you can bet today I'm feeling alright. Did I black out? Cause I don't recall. And it must have been a good night. And it must have been a good night. And it must have been a good night. It must have been a good night.
Now, obviously, we've worked together in the past. We made a record, the Journeyman record, which I was proud to work on and happy to work on. Is there anything you're working on right now?
I am writing a lot lately, actually. I have probably three different albums, separate things that are going through my head right now, and I just have to tidy up a few of them, and I'll get ready to record soon. So, right. Yeah. One of the songs that I did earlier will be on the first of those three records that I'm writing in my
in
head.
In your head? So, your Brian Wilson opus
yeah.
of...
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, it's just...
No you sandbox? Know. You're not going to live in a sandbox for...
No, yeah, no, well, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
It would be nice to stay in bed for many hours, but, you know.
Now, one of the bands you were associated with for a long time is Rambler 454, obviously, and I don't know if that's how we got to know each other. I don't even really know how we met each
I
other.
I think that's how it was.
But those
we probably
guys,
annoyed you enough times when you were running sound at Beachland that you just were like we're friends by like osmosis or something now.
Well, you never know.
Yeah. Like you said, many of those nights Jameson was involved. So
well, and that band is a straight up kind of country punk. I don't even know if you'd call it punkabilly. Like
I don't think
it's it's rock and roll. I mean,
to me it is. Yeah, yeah. They always put us in the rockabilly category, and I never felt that we were necessarily a rockabilly.
Well, you don't fit the rockabilly uniform. You're not cuffing your pants and
right.
wearing the chains. And
I mean,
your,
we did do that, but we went with. But our music. I mean, we have like a rock. There's an obvious, in my opinion, obviously a rock and a rockabilly influence there. But
right.
I wouldn't call us. We're not Lords of the Highway by any means.
No,
you know? We're not the Stray Cats or anything like that either. You know. We're just like straightforward rock and roll band.
What was the circumstances that got that band together? Like, how did that band start?
That band started right around 2001, 2002, something like that. Shortly after my previous band called Block, we broke up, and I had all these songs that I was going to do for their next record. And I figured, well, I'll just make a solo album then and just find some musicians. So right around that time, I had met Tim Brennan, who's the bass player for Rambler. He had a studio in his basement, and I said, hey, you know, what about recording these songs? He's like, yeah, he liked the songs, and he's like, yeah, I'll work with you, you know. I said, the only thing I don't have is a drummer. I don't have anybody that can come in and play. I said, I suck at drums, but I mean, I can play guitar and bass, you know, fake my way through it enough to make a record. Excuse me. And he said, yeah, you know, I know a guy, the guy from the Buddy Love Combo, Jason Linder. They're splitting up or whatever, so he's doesn't have any projects going on, so he came in and we rehearsed the songs. I gave him four track demos that I had. We rehearsed three of the songs, and like I think we recorded probably that either at that first time we got together or the second time we got together. We the three songs that we went
just
over
nailed it.
Ended up on the record,
right?
You know, the first Rambler record. So that's kind of how that happened. The Standing Eights kind of came about the same way. I had brought a few songs to Rambler, and they just weren't getting it. I don't know what, there was just something in the
some
air
kind
that
of
night
disconnect,
that just,
right.
They weren't getting it and they weren't digging the songs and we were kind of, they were starting families at the same time too, so they had other things on their mind. And I said, well, in the meantime, I didn't want to break the band up. I said, in the meantime, I'll make a solo record, and that's when I came to you. and I never intended to have that band ever play live, and then here we go, you know, we make not only the album, start playing shows, and we win a Scene Magazine Award, so now I'm still playing in that band as well as Rambler, and
The Standing Eights are still active?
Yeah, we're playing this Sunday, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. sit with you on a chair. Gonna rub my hand in your pretty blonde hair. Baseball on two, girl, we got basketball too. Take a roll through the park on the beach at the dark. Sitting on drift while fishermen throw lines at you. It don't matter what you say, it don't matter what you do. Girl, you know I got a thing for you, and I'm looking forward to you. And
I appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for doing this. I can't wait to for Dave over there to mix the songs down and to put this thing together. And always good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. Always a pleasure to see you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.